radio check.
For Radio Tango Quebec, I think I got. You're a pretty good signal into the repeat. You're not full quieting, but very copyable. This is N0TR. My name's Tom. I'm located in Greer, South Carolina. No response, N0TR. Flip.
I'll respond. Hi, Tom, N6CLX.
N6CLX.
N0GOT.
KFK in mobile.
KOJ, N0TR. Name here is Tom.
N0TR, this is KQ4 Kilo Foxtrot Kilo. This is Gavin.
I was trying to call, write that call down. That's a long one. Well, I had a friend named Gavin back in Kansas many years ago. Oh, mine's just Tom, and we're located over here between Lake Cunningham, Lake Robinson. The wife and I are just sitting here in the basement listening to a little bit of CW from Vietnam.
It's a mouthful for the call sign. I'm still trying to get used to myself. I'm actually currently driving through TR right now.
Wait there. There's another gentleman should be back in a little bit. He can break in any time. He just now did break in. N6CLX, Michael, or Mike. And he's out there in mobile, too. So don't be shy, Mike. Jump right back in there. Well, Gavin, what do you do for a living? Are you still working, or you like being retired?
Fortunately, I still work. I'm a paramedic, so kind of I'm starting my haul of 5 days straight. Well, 5 nights straight. I work third shift, so.
You guys are very special people, and we appreciate you being out there, and I hope I never have to use you.
Nights where we don't get calls are probably some of my favorite, but, you know, when we're needed, we're here, even if it's something minor. Better for us to be here than not exist at all.
Concur with that. Well, we've been watching this show on TV. It's called Highway to Hell, and it's wreckers, and they're up in that. And oh my, I think about you guys and the highway patrolmen and that out there on that highway, crazy highway I-85, and they ain't no ice out there, but there's rain and everything else, and crazy drivers, and you got a dangerous job. Besides doing the good that you're doing.
My biggest issue is, working in the ice and working in the rain and everything's not that big of a deal if you're prepared, but usually the most unpredictable part and the worst part is the drivers. They don't know what they're doing.
I tell the guys on here, they walk among us and they also drive among us. We're from Kansas. We've been here 14 years ago, and oh, wow. I'm 76 years old, and I just don't like the traffic at all, and it's grown exponentially, and it's just like everybody's driving like, there's no end of the world, and I assure you there is.
So, Greenville, Taylor's area is pretty much where I live, but the amount of change, the explosive growth, and the traffic getting, exponentially worse as we grow bigger. It's definitely been something that's hard to miss around here.
Ever in one of those ambulances or somebody else do that, I think I'd have me some AR plate or something for a front windshield if I was riding on the right side. Man, I see you guys dodge in and out of that and go through red lights and people still run them right in front of you.
People, I call ambulances car magnets and sometimes bullet magnets in the right situation. I actually, depending on what agency you're with, some have just drivers. The one I'm with, we have EMTs and medics. So usually it just depends on the type of call we're on and whose turn it is. If it's something that requires more advanced care, then I'm usually the one in the back. If it's something that's, you know, bandaging or just monitoring, then I'll put my EMT back there. Usually if we can, we'll trade off who drives and who rides.
You know, half's your odds, meeting one of those cars or bullets. Yeah, I've seen that too. I've seen them shoot at the EMTs on some of the shows on TV. And I don't know. I'm afraid I'd have to have a big .45 caliber automatic on my side if I was doing that job. That way I could shoot back. But, you know, they'd probably get a bad case of closed pores if you did that.
With how things are going in the world, I come from a law enforcement background. I would not be mad if they started giving us the option to start carrying on the job with some of the situations we go in. There are times when we go on to some pretty crazy scenes and we'll beat law enforcement, or law enforcement won't even be dispatched with us on some of these calls. So having that little bit of reliability instead of just sitting there and trying to run would make me feel a little bit better. But then I also know that there are some people out there in the world that probably shouldn't be carrying.
Yeah, that open carry thing doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy. And you know, I'm from Kansas, home of Gunsmoke and Dodge City. So you know what I think of guns. But I remember when they had the concealed carry law come out, and I was working at a printing plant. And we had a guy there that... I don't believe I'd wanted to go out with him at night, put it that way. He was a goofy character, and we was in the maintenance room one day, and he come walking in, and he said, "I'm going to be the first one to apply for that." And I thought, oh, my God, the Lord help us all. So, but you know, you never know, but there was a guy come to me, and he said, "Tom," he said, "he's got a shotgun, and I want to buy it, but I don't know anything about guns, and he's got it out in the parking lot in his station wagon." And he said, "Would you come out there tonight after we get off work and look at that?" And I said, "Well, I hope he's parked way out there, because if somebody sees that, they'll fire us." And I said, "Yeah, I'll help you out." So after work, needless to say, I went out there with my friend. And he had a real old Buick station wagon. I remember that because you just never did see a Buick station wagon, even back then, very rarely. And he told us it was open, it wasn't even locked. And I thought, well, there'll be one shotgun in the back, you know. And we opened the back of it up, and there was a cover there, a blanket. And it was over an arsenal of guns, shall we say. Not that bad, but there was a lot of them there. I like guns in the right hands. And he started to pick it up. I said, no, let me pick it up. And I picked it up, and the very first thing I did was jack the bolt on it, and a shell come out of the chamber, and the safety was off. There you go. That's a perfect example.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, the whole open carry thing doesn't bug me one bit. That just means it's easier to know who we need to watch out for and who not to. I mean, so like I said, law enforcement background, guns don't bug me. Usually the ones that shouldn't be carrying, that do carry, make it pretty obvious that, you know, you don't want to be around them when it comes time to carry, so.
Around South Carolina, you don't need one anyways. But I don't fault people for having them. And I'm not working now, so I'm not out amongst them, you know. But I used to do a lot of bench rest shooting. I made my own bullets, cast them myself, and loaded my own shells for over 50 years. And I don't care one way or the other how they rule on that, but open carry, I had a lady at Aldi's ask me one day, she worked there, and she says, you see that guy over there? I said, yeah, I've talked to him before. And he said, he got a gun on his side. And I said, yes. She said, is that legal? I said, well, yes, it is. And he did not look like the brightest star in the constellation. And when I talked to him, I confirmed that. But at any rate, the concealed carry, at least, they require some training with it. And so that's good. But I don't know. I think it'd be great if you guys were allowed to carry a sidearm. And you very much deserve to.
Compromise that came down through the most recent turnabout through the House and everything is going to require some sort of training or like free access to training of some sort, then it'll probably be like the little 8-hour CWP course talking about the basics of it. But I mean, I definitely believe that if you carry a gun, you should definitely be training on it at some point. But I know there, when I was firefighting, one of my fire departments, we ran into an incident where we pulled up on scene of a medical call. Homeboy came out of the house popping up shotgun shells and towards our direction. After that, we had a very serious conversation with our chief about talking to someone about being able to, at least for our engineer, to be able to carry a firearm with him since he never went inside on a fire. But there was obviously some pushback on that.
You're danged if you do and danged if you don't. You don't know what to think. Probably, you know, if you have an AR hanging on the inside wall of one of those, well, that'd be fine until somebody steals the ambulance. But it could be secured, I guess. I don't know the answer. I really don't. But I also would say this. For example, a lady down the street is a wonderful lady, and she's in her 60s, and she's got a concealed carry. And that's the only training and the only time she'd ever been around a pistol in her life was for that 8 hours. Do you really in your heart think that's sufficient? I don't. I was raised with it. And Dad would give me one 410 shell for my single barrel shotgun. We'd go rabbit hunting. If I get one rabbit, I got another shell. And it hit me upside the head. And that I felt... in my heart, that's better training than just that 8 hours.
Sure. That's something that I saw on the law enforcement side, too, when I was a deputy, was we would do our yearly qual, and you could tell the officers that actually put time on the range outside of that once-a-year qualification and the ones who only pulled their gun out of the holster to go ahead and just do that one training a year.
Me and my old friend that passed away, his name was John Rocky, he would go out almost every night, and he cast his own bullets, a lot of them was jacketed, and he had very high quality rifles, 40 XB Remington, 27 inch stainless steel barrels, and Leopold scopes, and you know, and he wanted me to go out that much. I said, no, I wouldn't have a wife if I went out that much, but I'd go out a couple times a week. And makes a big difference if you train with it, I'll tell you for sure. It was a hobby, and it was a lot of fun. And up in Kansas, you could drive 5 miles and be out of town and go out in the old coal dumps and shoot and have a good backstop and enjoy yourself. But these inside ranges and that are better than nothing, but... oh, they make me nervous when I go inside of one of those. And about the time you start to shoot a pistol, well, somebody will come in with a 460 Weatherby or something, you know. I'm exaggerating. But they do bring in some big rifles, and it is awfully noisy.
There's an indoor range right down the road for me that I've taken a couple of friends to introduce them into guns and everything. And I've been flagged once or twice, and I've lost my rear end on those people, and if I can avoid it, I would rather be on an outdoor range any day, especially one that, you know, is private and controlled. actually just got a 6.5 Creedmoor about a month ago, and have been crazy hard to find rounds for that rifle, but I want to go out and find a good place that has good, you know, 100 meters, 100 yards, so I can actually start dialing that scope in.
Fine cartridge. I think the military is going to, what, 6.8 or something like that? My friend on here could tell us. The Army's already gone to it, I think, rather than the 223s. But that 6 millimeter is a good cartridge. My friend up in Kansas had one in that 40XB Remington, and it was a big heavy barrel stainless steel one. It was for bench rest. But it was a 1 in 12 twist, and I forget which bullet it stabilized. I think the lighter ones. I used the 22-250 heavy barrel and 243 and 270 and 06. But those are all good cartridges.
Savage Apex Hunter 110, so I think the twist rate's 1 in 8. With a, I think the best round for it is 140 or 147 grain, 6.5. I know the military is upping from their 5.56 223 up to the 6.8. I think it was for that new 6 hour Spear X rifle that just came out. And I know their rifles for the Sniper Corps, they've been upgrading from the Remington 700 and the Mark 14 up to the 6.8 range as well.
Roger. Yeah, that's probably got a great ballistic coefficient on it, too, and sectional density. I'm 76 years old now, Gavin, and I forget a lot of things, but I'm interested in that. I had a dear friend that still got him, and he's up in Kansas. Boy, he was really ticked off when they took that M14 away from him over there in Vietnam and gave him an M16. He didn't like that at all.
My grandfather served in Vietnam, and I remember the stories that time out. They got mad because it was taking a real weapon away and giving him a Playtel plastic toy. And they had so many issues with jams due to the exhaust port and springs and stuff like that. They weren't very popular, so... I mean, honestly, I run an AR-15, and I absolutely enjoy it. It's like the someone once told me it's like the Barbie doll of the men's world because you can do anything you want with it.
Ronnie, it was a great cartridge. And my neighbor was a gunsmith and was awfully good to me, and so I sold it to him real cheap. Get me a 243. I kind of regret that now, but I don't really because he was a wonderful man. But he's passed away now. But, when I was in Vietnam, they'd put condoms over the barrels to keep the thing from fouling up. And then they'd still jam on them. But, the M14 and the M1 Garand was the finest of all of them as far as I was concerned. But I didn't have to handle one. I was in the Navy, and I was in a flight crew, and I didn't get shot at very much. So, I feel for them guys that had to be out there in the bush. They're pretty effective, though, out to 300 yards. I don't see anything wrong with them, and the drawback is the Geneva Convention says they have to use full metal jackets, and that's the drawback, really, but that's the rules. This is 0TR.
Actually been in love with the M1 Garands and the M14s. That before I bought my, or traded my AR, I actually had a Springfield Armory SOCOM 2 M14, and I absolutely adored it, but I was the only one of my friends that carried the caliber for it, so I traded it away for the AR that I have now, and I kind of regret it a little bit, but one day I will have enough money to buy another one and get it tricked out with the scope and everything, and then I will definitely have it at $1,000 one day before I die.
Yeah, they cost a fortune now compared to what they used to be. But yeah, I got to shoot a full auto AR last year, and It's quite an experience. I'd hate to be on the receiving end of one, let alone the AK-47. But you can't fault that AK-47. I guess I'm a traitor, but I think they let the cat out of the box when they put the ARs and that out there with the big clips into civilian hands, but it's already done, and all my buddies have got them, so I'm kind of a pariah when it comes to that, but I'd like to see them. We never had these type of things going on when I was growing up. The guys come to school, have a shotgun in the back of the pickup truck window, and the coach would ask them, you know, what gauge is it, and go out and look at it. But I don't know. It's, I guess the common denominator, in my opinion, as an old fellow, is parenting. And I think we're lacking that now.
I have to agree with you on that. I'm turning 34 this month. But, you know, you're right. You look at the culture shift between back in your day when people would, you know, bring them in their racks to school and everything. The one or two times there have ever been documented cases where someone's made threats like that to a school, you know, you have the seniors and the teachers standing out there at every door with their own rifles and their own guns trying to protect that school. And there's been a huge cultural shift on that. And I think a lot of that does have to do with the culture shift and the parenting and stuff like that.
It does, and you'd think they'd have sense enough to lock them up, too. That helps a lot. I bought each one of my grandsons and my granddaughter. We bought them a Henry, just a .22 with the X-barrel, you know, and had it engraved when they were 9 years old. But they've been locked in a safe either here or there ever since. But that's, if they want to use it, they have to ask. And when they turn 18, in the right mind, which they are, they can take them. But until then, they stay locked in the safe. But I'm old-fashioned, redneck, and narrow-minded, Gavin. I ain't going to change. There's no hope for me. Anyways, Gavin, it's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Don't be a stranger, and I'll let you go for now. I got to go finish up my ginger ale and go upstairs to the rain locker and get my shower and then come back down and work a little CW. KQ4KFK. This is N0TR, Gavin, and the pleasure's all mine. 73, good night.
I feel you. I got to start getting ready for work. But next time I make contact with you, I got to remember that a friend of mine just gave me some reloading equipment that, you know, either you might be interested in or maybe you can give me some guidance on. Maybe one day we can get that arranged out, but have a good night. If I don't see you again tonight, be safe. Enjoy your shower. Enjoy your ginger ale. KQ4KFK, clear. 73.